take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. It's Alex Jones.
Just keep it coming. Ladies and gentlemen, we are broadcasting worldwide. I am your host, Alex Jones. We're going to be here for the next 4 hours. And then Owen Schroyer and Roger Stone will kick off the always informative War Room. David Knight just completed his Real News transmission, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central every day. Iran and Israel are in a state of war. When you're firing missiles at each other and bombing each other and killing each other, you're at war. And the supreme dictator over in Iran said that Trump will be worm food and will soon die. And, of course, we're rolling footage of 22 rockets firing into Israel from the Golan Heights. Coming up in 15 minutes, Laura Loomer is joining us from the Golan Heights. Probably should have told the producers that when I came in this morning. She's in Israel. So we have some of the reports that she sent us and followed from there. She's in the basically the exact spot where those rockets came in yesterday. So we'll be talking to her. Israel responded by firing 60 rockets in overnight strikes on Syria. Russia's Ministry of Defense said 28 Israeli F-15 and F-16 planes were involved in the attack. And, of course, that comes right after Israel, the night before, bombed the airbase south of Damascus. So this is what you call a war. And it's escalating daily. Now, MSM is blaming Trump for this, for pulling out of the Iran deal. The Iran deal was a fraud. That said, at the same time, Iran and Israel have been spoiling for a new war since the last two times through Hezbollah firing rockets into Israel. Israel has invaded now Islamic-held, formerly Christian, Lebanon. And the Quds forces and the Hezbollah militia have defeated the high-tech Israeli tanks. And so they've just been spoiling to get into a giant war with each other. And forget taking sides here. This is going on. But when Obama first got into office for 4 or 5 years, this was also going on. So I don't think it's fair to blame Trump, but we're going to be looking at every angle of that. And who really helped escalate the crisis in the Middle East was John McCain, Obama, Hillary, and their whole false Arab Spring, putting radical jihadis in charge. Again, though, that said, the other big issue is the hostages coming back from North Korea after Pompeo went over and got them, the new Secretary of State, the newly minted Secretary of State. They're now saying that Reuters is saying the word is, it hasn't been officially announced, but within days, Trump will announce that Singapore is the site of this big meeting to officially end the Korean War. This is really, really positive news. They would have given Obama 5,000 Nobel Peace Prizes for this. Instead, he was given a peace prize and then launched 7 different wars. And now we've got a new lie from McCain. See, I have something called a memory. So I got up this morning and I saw the headline that in McCain's new book, the New York Times has the exclusive, that John McCain says that he gave the dossier to the FBI, who then promptly gave it to the media, the fake dossier. But we know it goes back further than that. The FBI was financing the dossier. So it's a circle of intrigue. But I remembered McCain saying last year and this year that he never did that. In fact, I pulled the articles up where he denied being involved in the dossier. He is just a congenital Keating 5 globalist, Al-Qaeda, ISIS-supporting, total maximum globalist traitor. He is an absolute enemy of this country.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. Alex Jones.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him.
Speaking of liars that God is going to cut down, John McCain, for the first year, denied involvement with the fake dossier that was just a collection of made-up lies and taxpayer money paid by the FBI and Justice Department to their wives and husbands at Fusion GPS to produce the piece of fiction. And it came out last week that they're still paying Fusion GPS. Now it's a total of $50 million. And of course, then you know, John McCain came out and said he would do it again. That's Fox News, saying it was his duty to release the dossier to the FBI. But I remember Comey in the news a year ago, right when he got fired, remember? Saying, no, no, McCain didn't give us the dossier. But again, they play games because there's been a bunch of dossiers. Just like there's been a bunch of Star Trek movies. They're fiction. There's been a lot of Star Wars movies. There's been a lot of Winnie the Pooh movies. There's been a lot of Gunsmoke TV episodes. They're not real. So they play this game. Now, that said, we've got the big news of the tit-for-tat beginning. Trump 2 days ago gives the speech, says we're pulling out of the Iran deal. That is a bad deal. And I understand why the president's doing it, to negotiate a better deal like he's done in North Korea, which so far I'm, you know, tacitly applauding and think's really a great thing. Not that I trust Kim Jong-un as far as anybody could throw him and his porcine, corpulent circumference. But that said, now Trump makes that announcement. Israel, a couple hours later, blows up an Iranian airbase, killing at least 9 Iranians that came into the country to fight the ISIS-Al-Qaeda forces that Hillary and Obama and Saudi Arabia put into the country. That's an incontrovertible fact. So Iran's not the bad guy there. They're the bad guy grabbing our ships. They're the bad guys saying your president will be dead in worm food yesterday. They're the bad guys threatening to blow Israel up routinely. They're the bad guys funding missiles being brought in Lebanon to Israel's border. Iran doesn't take any Palestinians. Saudi Arabia doesn't take any Palestinians. They're total hypocrites. And Iran is an Islamic dictatorship. Yeah, they have elections, but the Ayatollah, it's a genetic dictatorship. They're all, quote, related to Muhammad. That's what the Shiites are. You've got to be related to Muhammad to even be a teacher. That's why these guys all look like clones. They're 19% of Islam, and it is a Shiite Islamic state. And so they're chanting death to America and all the rest of this. No, they have elections, but the Ayatollahs decide out of 4 or 5 people who can run. So it's just like the Communist Party in China. The Central Committee, the Politburo, they decide a couple hundred people who are permanent communists, and the communists pass power back down to them. They decide who then can be a president. That's not a real republic. That's not a democracy either. What it is a political group. An oligarchy is the best term for it, that has a dictatorship. So, moronic video of the national television, state-run media in Iran burning American flags and just basically engaging in very, very, very primitive, simian-like, monkey-like behavior. But don't think we don't behave like that as well when a war starts. And, you know, I made a point last night in a special report, and I saw a lot of commenters, not the majority, but a large portion, saying, oh, Alex, you're full of prunes. The president doesn't control the media. They're his enemies. The president in time of war has no control over anything. And so I got in this morning and got to looking at all the news, and I forgot to pull it But anybody can, and I guess the crew can do it. Each president reissues it since about Kennedy's time. That during a civil emergency, during a financial emergency, during an economic emergency, during a military emergency, all the major national media starts reading from a script that's issued by the president and by the continuity of government boards that have been set up. You've also heard the emergency alert system that breaks in. There's also central systems that can fully take over every major transmission, including the internet. They didn't have that power until Obama completed it in about 2011. The headlines were Obama's kill switch, internet kill switch, now in place, where they can forcibly redirect the entire internet, every website, every phone, every screen, just like you get Amber Alerts that break in on your phone, or hurricane alerts, or tornado alerts, or earthquake alerts. It can take over your phone, take over your computer, take over the AM radio station, take over the broadcast TV station, take over everything, and serve you local messages, regional messages. Yes, yes, in 2011. Kill switch. Obama administration fears Egypt-style revolt in U.S. It's Paul Joseph Watson article, and then it links to Fox News covering it. We first told you about the kill switch years before. They were trying to put it in. But by 2011, it was in to take full, total control over the internet and everything connected to it. That's what the smart meters are about and the smart appliances. It's not just your local radio station or TV station or cable station. It's now your appliances. It's now your in-home cameras. It's now your smartphone. And so I talked about the fact that Trump made the announcement we're pulling out of the deal. I said, well, I'm tacitly, you know, giving him benefit of the doubt. I don't like it, but we'll see. He's been right about everything else. We know the globalists don't like him. We know the country's coming back. We know he brought Korea to the table. So I said, I'll give him tacit green light in my own personal support. But I said, what if Israel kicks off something, or what if Iran kicks off something? And our media started saying, the state-run media, that's what CNN is, just Trump hasn't gotten full control of it yet, started saying, oh my God, Israel's going to be attacked by Iran any minute. And then it was Israel attacked Iranian base in Syria hours later. And then Iran fired missiles back in into the Golan Heights out of Lebanon and Syria. And now that's kicked off. And now Israel bombed back. And now Laura Loomer's coming up in the next segment from the ground in the Golan Heights where the rockets came down last night. The Intrepid reporter Laura Loomer. So she's coming up. And her videos are up on her site. They're also up on Infowars.com right now. We'll play some of those. But that's how this thing unravels and gets out of control so quickly. We'll also get into the clip with Trump, you know, praising the good sign of Kim Jong-un releasing these American hostages. That's certainly good news. We have so much to cover today that we'll be breaking down. Matt Drudge also warns Trump is opening up a Pandora's box of censorship with crusade on fake news, because that can be spun back. Absolutely. There's another report here. England is set to pass rules where you get 6 months in prison for criticizing homosexuality or Islam or anything else. So that's the total authoritarianism already in Germany and Sweden, now coming to the UK, and then, of course, to the US and the colleges. Over 200 colleges have set up these boards where if someone just has a gesture or you think they don't like you, if they're white, they get in trouble. That's like that Beavis and Butthead. They had a new season, had for 20 years not having it, and I just saw it the other night, just happened to be surfing television, and Beavis and Butthead think a girl is sexually harassing them telepathically, and they get before the judge. She's going to throw the girl, you know, in jail, but then they say the judge is raping them as well. And actually, an EEOC complaint against me, it says I never said anything sexual, but they thought it. It was telepathic. So that's the new thing, is telepathic rape.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones. I'm just
Well, independent investigative reporter Laura Loomer is in the Golan Heights, but she's getting to a more secure location before we talk to her via telephone. Here in just a moment, she filed a bunch of video reports that are on Infowars.com right now and on her Twitter. But first, let's look at some of the successes of President Trump in the last year and a half.
Do you deserve the Nobel Prize, do you think?
Everyone thinks so, but I would never say it. You know what I want to do? I want to get it finished. The prize I want is victory for the world.
The prize I want is victory for the world.
Of 1776.
You're a white male!
It's also what happens when you listen to the radio host, Alex Jones.
Move, bitch! Get out the way!
We pledge allegiance to one flag, and that flag is the American flag.
InfoWars helped fuel the rumor that President Obama is an ISIS supporter.
It's been a cozy relationship from the beginning.
I will not let you down. You'll be very, very impressed, I hope. And I think we'll be speaking a lot.
Donald Trump and Alex Jones.
This means that Donald Trump will be the 45th president of the United States.
Waging war on corruption. It's
Alex Jones.
But the corporate media told us he didn't want to be president. They told us he wouldn't run again for re-election. McCain told us he didn't give the dossier to the FBI. McCain denies being BuzzFeed's Trump dossier source. No, he just gave it to the FBI, then they gave it to him. He didn't do anything. Trying to bring Iran to the table like we're bringing North Korea to the table is a different trick, though. You've got Israel hitting that base, claiming they were aiming missiles at Israel. Well, they're firing missiles back. Israel's bombing them. It's a real mess, but that deal was a real mess. We're going to get Laura Loomer's take in Israel on this, in the Golan Heights, where the rockets were landing last night, and where the air raid sirens were taking place. Because this is a war that has already kicked off. This is conflict with the Iranian / Saudi Arabian civil war that's happening inside Islam, spilling over into Israel. And these are just the lighter weapons that are going in. Iran's got heavy missiles, thousands of them. So how soon until, oops, a ship gets sunk? How soon until the tit-for-tat escalates very, very quickly? Right now, Israel is shooting down most of these incoming missiles that are medium size with its Iron Dome system. We'll be talking to Laura Loomer this segment and the next here in just a moment. First off, supporting this broadcast is critical. We have the Nazi collaborator George Soros through his different outlets funding lawsuits against us. We have Hillary Clinton trying to get us shut down. We have major publications calling for us to be shut down. But we will defeat them. We've already gotten 9 of the 16 lawsuits thrown out. And if you'll simply buy great products at InfoWarsStore.com that you and your family absolutely need, it's a win-win, a non-zero-sum game, a 360 win. So I want you to try our incredibly popular fluoride-free, colloidal silver, iodine fortified adult and children's toothpaste. We have the mouthwash that's fortified as well as the immune gargle in 3 different sizes. Boy, is that a powerful product. It's got so many other uses that we don't even put on there. You can go read the individual reviews, 5-star, thousands of them. It's a new combo pack, so there's no reviews there if you're watching on TV. It has free shipping as well, not just 50% off. And also the ultimate turmeric formula, Bodies. 95% curcumin level. Leading competitors have a 3%. It's just joke level. They don't. It's just a bunch of powdered crud. This is concentrated curcumin and then 5 other super antioxidants and anti-inflammatories. An example is my wife, who's a big tennis player and a big exercise person. And since she had the baby, she stopped exercising as much, and her hip seized up. And she went to chiropractors. She went to massages. She went to everything. She even was looking at having surgery. And then I just said, take a crap ton of bodies for 2 weeks. And she goes, well, almost all the pain's gone, but I think it's maybe that I stopped drinking. And she barely drinks anyways. And I think maybe it's I'm getting more sleep. And I'm like, it's the turmeric, sweetheart. But I'm telling the story as it happens. So I got her to start shoveling that down 2 weeks ago. And magically, you know, one of the crew members here had gout. I said, take bodies. Boom. He'd already been on medicine. Wasn't helping him. And I'm not saying it's a replacement for medicine. I'm not saying, you know, that you got to have air to live or you need vitamin C to live. The FDA says you're not supposed to say that. So I cannot tell you need air or water to live or that you'll die without vitamin C, even though you will, or that you'll die without iodine. It's a fact. Or that IQs are dropping because iodine deficiency. Who cares if it's a fact? Just, you know, die. Be stupid. I agree with the FDA. So you do not need oxygen to live. Now, please don't strangle yourself or you'll die. But again, these statements are not approved by the FDA. I want you to try Super Blue, 50% off all Super Blue products. I want you to try the Ultimate Turmeric Formula, 50% off. Order today. Now, if you continue to fund us, if you continue to spread the articles and the videos and pray for us, we'll be here. If you don't stand with us, the globalists will be successful and shut us down. But you're standing with us, and I really want to thank you all. But please think about supporting InfoWars today. Now, we're going to break in a few minutes, but I want Laura Loomer, who, again, has filed reports right up there in the Golan Heights from the mountaintops. You know, she's now in a safer location in the Golan. And she's, again, got her Twitter account we're going to put on screen for you if you want to follow that. But there she is yesterday and this morning at the Golan Heights. At Laura Loomer is how you can follow her on Twitter. Laura, wow, I didn't know you were in Israel until I started seeing your reports getting filed in the middle of the night. So I hope you're being safe there.
Yeah, I'm doing my best. It's been a wild night. I've been in Israel for about a week or so now, and I'm going to be here probably for the rest of the month just reporting really on the embassy move. But last night I was sleeping, and around 3 in the morning I was woken up by the missile attack. The missile attack that was fired by Iranian forces out of Syria went right past my hotel on the Galilee near Golan Heights. And so I heard it all. And, you know, if you watch the video that I posted on my Twitter and my Periscope, you can actually see some of the missiles being intercepted by the Iron Dome with little flashes in the sky. And you can hear the sound of the fighter jets flying by as well.
Look, here's the deal. Everybody knows I'm not anti-Israel. I like Israel. At the same time, I don't like the Iranian dictators. I like the Iranian people. But Trump makes this announcement, and then Israel bombs this military base. You're in Israel. Maybe you have inside baseball why they did that. And then now this tit for tat. I mean, I think there's a war really pretty much started between Israel and Iran right now. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying for weeks now that I think that it's inevitable. I think there's going to be war between Israel and Iran. And I think that a lot of the, it's not just Israel, right? We've seen the behavior on behalf of the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. I mean, coming out just kind of out of nowhere, all of a sudden saying that Israel has a right to exist, which is something that no Muslim leader has ever said, right? I mean, that's totally.
Stay there. Skype's breaking up a bit. We're coming right back. Yeah, I mean, war has already started between Iran and Israel. I mean, it's happened here. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with us.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Watch me! Watch me! I got it! Watch me! I got it! Hey!
All right, Laura Loomer joins us. Her Skype failed, so she's joining us via the phone from the Golan Heights, right there by the Galilee where the rockets came in last night. And you know, here's my bottom line. The optics are bad. Trump says we're pulling out of the Iran deal. And then I see all over the news, Israel bracing for Iranian attack. And then Israel hits this airbase that kills a bunch of Iranians and who knows who else just south of Damascus in Syria's capital. And then they fire rockets back in and then Israel attacks that. And then we don't really hear from Israel much about why they did it other than there were missiles aimed at Israel there. Well, by that extension, they could attack in the main country of Iran and kick off the big war. So, again, I want to get Laura's take on that, what the Israelis she's talking to, what the military she's seeing are saying, and what the inside scoop is. And then, as she said, all the signs are there with the Crown Prince who's running Saudi Arabia, recognizing Israel. saying he's going to let Christian churches and Jewish mosques or Jewish synagogues be right next to mosque, and just all these statements. A major political realignment with Israel, the United States, and Saudi Arabia against Iran, and this whole situation in Syria. It just sounds like the beginning of potential World War III. Laura Loomer.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, and I apologize for my Skype failing.
Hey, that's not your fault. That's the technology.
Right now. No. Yeah, it's really hard to get service here, as you can imagine. But yeah, look, I think that this has been in the works for some time now. I've been reporting for the past few months that I predict that there was going to be war with Iran, especially because of Saudi Arabia's very random, strange, and misplaced connection with Israel lately. And, you know, that's just something that Muslim nations, especially Wahhabist nations, don't do. They don't really recognize the state of Israel, right? They're very anti-Semitic. They're very, you know, anti-Jew, anti-Israel, really inherently. It's kind of embedded in their culture. And so I think that Saudi Arabia is just kind of playing Israel like a fiddle so that they can both, you know, kind of split the bill for attacking Iran. And then if Saudi Arabia and Israel go to war with Iran, then I feel like that would inherently draw the U.S. into the war as well. So I think that it's kind of like a little dance to engage Trump in a war with Iran. We saw Netanyahu's presentation recently in which he pretty much, you got the vibe that he was really speaking to Trump, right? Speaking to America about how Obama lied about the Iran deal and Iran lied about the Iran deal because, as you know, Mossad agents went in and they carried out this very covert operation and escaped with thousands of documents about the Iranian nuclear program. So I think it's inevitable. The tensions are rising. And I was on the Golan Heights today speaking with IDF soldiers. I was on the Lebanon border speaking with IDF soldiers as well. And they have been preparing for this for a while, they tell me. And they think that things will be very hectic for the next week or two, but they're hoping that they will be under control, especially given the fact that today or last night, the IDF did take out most, or they're claiming at least most, of the Iranian military installations located in Syria.
Now, this could easily escalate, though. I hope that it de-escalates and a new deal can be made that's better, because obviously that was just a ceasefire a few years ago from the low-intensity conflict that was still going on. Of course, it's high-intensity if you get killed, but militarily it's seen as low-intensity conflict, firing rockets and bombing each other occasionally back and forth. But now with this major realignment and what's happening, and Iran talking about launching full-out war, attacking U.S. ships, if they attack a U.S. ship, Trump is going to hit Iran very, very hard. Iran says they're going to have a total commitment back, and this could explode into a major league hot war within hours.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. But it's not only just, you know, like physical attacks. Iran said that they will, there was a report today I saw in the Daily Mail about how Iran may be carrying out cyber attacks against Western businesses to retaliate against Trump and the United States from withdrawing from the Iran deal, of course. So I think that a cyber attack could be even more devastating, really, than a bombing, because I don't really feel like the United States is really prepared for a massive cyber attack on electrical grids and infrastructure, right? I mean, we're always talking about bombings and, you know, like actual physical military attacks, but nobody really ever talks about how devastating a large-scale cyber attack could be.
Well, this could go nuclear very quickly. My sources a decade ago told me that Iran had at least 5 nuclear weapons, atomic bombs, but they didn't have a delivery system. And then you notice that when Netanyahu gave those presentations, which Iran admits are real documents, they're just older, that they had a goal of 5 weapons. And you look at all the castings and all the documents and videos, I mean, they've achieved atomic weapons, is what I've been told. And the real concern, you kept seeing this from Netanyahu and from Trump, was the ICBMs, the fast delivery systems that can hit Europe as well already. So I think that's why Israel and others are so, and Saudi Arabia are so concerned, because I was told by very credible sources and have been on record 10 years ago that Iran has 5 weapons.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and that's the discussion that's really taking place here in Israel as well. And it's also very concerning because, as you know, the embassy move is taking place in 4 days. And the aggression is not only now directed towards Israel, but it's also, really directed towards Americans. And there's going to be a lot of Americans in Israel and the U.S. delegation, many members from Trump's administration here this week for the official embassy move and, 70th anniversary of, Israel's independence. And so, of course, that gives the United States and Israel even more motive and more concern when it comes to eliminating, these Iranian military bases in Syria and really just making sure that they are denuclearized.
Well, I know this. 6 years ago, our own military told Obama no in backing Saudi Arabia and a different faction then that's been taken out reportedly now to overturn Syria and give it to basically Wahhabist al-Qaeda folks. And then Syria did agree, and then this came out later. We first broke it here from Colonel Schaefer and others. They did agree to then, once ISIS and al-Qaeda were kicked out, to hold elections and that Assad would leave. So I think a lot of the pressure now from Trump is the fact that we haven't been hearing that from Assad now. So I don't know if Assad is going to abide by that deal. Any word on that in Israel?
I can't really speak to that, no. But I would agree with you on that. I have the same feeling as you do, the same concern. But really, the focus right now, it's oddly calm. I mean, regardless of the fact that there were these attacks last night, Israel and the Israeli people and the IDF, they seem to be very calm. I mean, the people in the Golan Heights today, they sent their kids to school. People went to work. It was still open. It wasn't shut down. And the
sure, well, that's good news, but I'm just concerned this tit-for-tat back and forth or the ships there in the Persian Gulf is something that could trigger very, very quickly, because this is basically a state of war between Israel and Iran with the U.S. being sucked into it. I know this, though. I've never, in the 3 or 4 years I've been following your work, I've never seen you cover anything from Israel. So I guess you did predict this a few months ago. I guess you traveled there because you want to be in the middle of this to report on it. So you got a lot of courage being right there in the middle of it.
Yeah, no, definitely. And you are right. This is a tit for tat. I mean, I was on the Lebanon border with Israel yesterday, and they did have Israeli gunships in the water patrolling, because they have Iranian proxies, Hezbollah right across in Lebanon. And so this could get nuclear, and it could become very disastrous very quickly. While it may appear to be calm, you are correct.
All right. Well, listen, Laura Loomer, we're going to continue to check in with you as things unfold. Hopefully, we don't have to check in with you because hopefully this all de-escalates. But right now, there is a state of war going on. As we try to end the war on the Korean Peninsula, with the hostages coming back, I got the video and audio and my breakdown of that on the other side. Will Trump get the peace prize? We'll discuss this right ahead. Be safe, Laura Loomer. You can follow her videos from the ground at Laura Loomer on Twitter. Follow us at Real Alex Jones and at Prison Planet. Stay with us.
Is the U.S. involved with any procuring of weapons, transfer of weapons, buying, selling, anyhow transferring weapons to Turkey out of Libya?
To Turkey?
It is a big idea. A new world order.
How is it that this organization is so well-funded, so organized?
Islamic State-linked militants have gained a stronger foothold in Libya, seizing new economically vital areas of the country.
The leader of ISIS in Libya is none other than Abdel Hakim Belhaj. And of course, he was armed to the teeth by NATO.
A world in which there is the very real prospect of a new world order.
The Russians say they're negotiating with North Korea to hold joint military exercises. Kim Jong-un and Vladimir Putin teaming up, creating an ominous alliance against the United States.
Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is aggressively opposing the nuclear deal that the U.S. government is negotiating with Iran.
Saudi Arabia is apparently prepared to allow Israeli jets into its airspace to conduct attacks on Iran.
We have an unprecedented opportunity to build a new world order,
I set up a foundation in Ukraine and played an important part in events now.
Ukraine is set to receive the first tranche of an International Monetary Fund aid package.
We had brokered a deal to transition power in Ukraine.
Vladimir Putin is on the move.
Only when this transformation is complete will we be able to take full measure of the opportunities presented by this new and evolving world order.
It's known as the Bilderberg Group. Could their objective be world domination?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Later in the broadcast, I am going to go over famous executive orders that have been reissued by subsequent presidents, allowing presidents to take control of all medicine, all transportation, to put citizens into forced labor work brigades that give the president, for even an economic crisis or any other crisis, total control over the media, over the means of production. That's why the globalists put all this power in the presidency and why they're so upset that the president now is back under the control of the people. That's how he was able to get us out of TPP. That's how he's been able to executively get rid of so many of these bureaucratic red tape nightmares that were designed to shut us down, because they had given the president unconstitutionally all of this executive power. And Trump is using it to dismantle that system, and I'm praising that. But I can tell you right now, CNN and the rest of mainstream media are still in the hands of the deep state to a great extent, openly working against the president, openly sabotaging things. But when time of war kicks in, even the executives at those companies basically do what the Pentagon and the president is asking them. And when the president 2.5 days ago or 2 days ago announced that he was pulling out of the Iran deal, and then Israel struck Syria, killing Iranians at a base, no coverage, but one thing on Fox, little thing on Drudge, and Infowars.com. Ladies and gentlemen, when war like that kicks off that could really trigger a larger war, you know it's usually huge top stories, dun, 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 you know, on the edge of war, war between Israel, war between Iran, will the U.S. be called in? You know, lots of images on CNN with graphics of how the base was hit and satellite photos and cruise missiles were fired by the Israelis. Zero coverage. And that is, I can tell you for certain, not because I have the sources on this, but because I know how it works, the Pentagon said to the media, please do not cover this. We're going into a potential full war scenario. And under war scenarios, the media, the production, the telephones, the internet, the UHF, the VHF, the cable, the government can hit one switch, the internet kill switch, and everything goes to government announcements, government text, government audio. It's a fact. It's law. Congress has passed this. There are executive orders. And I wasn't even criticizing Trump. I mean, I do criticize him when I think it's needed. I think we're in very dangerous waters right now, but I'm not ready to criticize him because he's proven himself right over and over again. But I'm not going to give him blind faith. I'm going to give him tacit, guarded approval. Doesn't mean I'm God. That's just my personal view. I'm sure you've got yours. But the fact that the media, day one and day two, had almost zero coverage. Finally today, the foreign press is all over this for 2 days, so they can't ignore it. It's out there. But that's a big issue. So later in the broadcast, anybody can search this themselves. Just go to Bing. Google's pretty much worthless. I don't like to plug Microsoft, but it's like the old Google. It works pretty good. That doesn't mean they can't control it later. Go to Start Page or a lot of other great independent sites. But a lot of them feed off Google. They just protect your identity. And you can just search executive orders, presidential executive orders for national emergencies, because each president reissues them with their own tailoring. And Trump has reissued all those. He declared an emergency a few months ago with the trafficking of men, women, and children that allowed him to seize a lot of money and start rolling up the pedophile networks and things along that line. So this is real news. And you know, Forbes, here it is, Obama's plan to seize control of our economy and our lives. And it shows we did with executive orders. So Trump has this power, and that's why the globalists are so scared of him. And this is the first real exercise of Trump's power that I've seen the last 48 hours with CNN having zero coverage of this, even though they could spin it to say, look, Trump's an idiot. He pulled out of the deal and this is all kicked off. Now, the word is John Kerry's behind the scenes telling the Iranians to start probing, start attacking, that that'll embarrass Trump. So Trump isn't in full control of the executive branch yet. I'm just pointing out this is the first sign that he is beginning to get control of it. But people should stop being like children and stop being so naive about who runs the media and who controls things. That's why the globalists hate local talk radio. It's why they hate independent news like InfoWars, because they want total control. Whether they be right-wing or left-wing, ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, CNN, MSNBC. Remember Gore Vidal famously, before he died, was on CNN. He goes, wow, I'm on CNN today, and there's no general in here or colonel during the breaks telling me what I can say. And then CNN later had to admit it was in the news. WorldNet Daily reported on it and said, no, we actually have on staff about 300 officers at our New York and Atlanta offices. And we've even got several generals full-time at CNN Center in New York and in D.C. You can pull those articles up. CIA and top military run CNN, worldnetdaily.com. And then it links to the press releases and admissions. So there was also a press release 4 years ago by the Pentagon, a video press release by the deputy head of the Army, and also the Deputy Secretary of Defense, and our article about it was Pentagon promises to stop lying because of the Drudge Report, because they source the Drudge Report. They say, we're going to stop lying now. We've made the decision. This is when the Pentagon broke with Obama, and we're going to be embedded now in all your local media, too. We're going to help you. And I thought, this is just ridiculous. They're not actually going to do this. And then like a strange Stranger Things episode, the CIA and military people started popping up all over the place. And so far, they've never given us any disinformation. But I'm not stupid. I know what this is all about. So we're not in Kansas anymore. Yeah, the guys pulled up a thing from 2017, which is not the crew's fault. When I throw this stuff out, they're supposed to find it, especially when it's 15 years old. The exact headline is CNN centers staffed with CIA operatives, CIA and military operatives, crafting news. That's your headline from 15 years ago. So that's just some of the news that we're going to be covering on that front. But I'm going to print. I've been meaning to do this lately, and I haven't done it, so I'm kind of doing it on the fly here. But I mean to print the executive orders themselves. Type this in, crew, and for TV viewers and listeners as well. Just type in list of executive orders transferring control to the presidency during emergencies. And then it'll go back to the 60s. This executive order that allows putting people in forced labor camps. This executive order that allows for total gun confiscation. This executive order for the entire takeover of the media. Give me some of the Obama kill switch articles out of Forbes and the Associated Press, because all of that's still in place. Now, we're going to go to break, ladies and gentlemen, and I will come back with the whole North Korea thing and then a lot more. Don't forget, we are running two of the biggest specials ever, and these sales are going to have to end soon because both these products will sell out. Bodies, the ultimate turmeric formula, 95% curcuminin level, and it's got five other ingredients as well. 400-plus milligrams just of the turmeric in it, of the curcuminin. It is 50% off, even though it sold out last time at that price. And all of the Super Blue fluoride-free amazing toothpaste and mouthwash and immune gargle is 50% off and free shipping on the combo pack. Thanks for your support. InfoWarsStore.com.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
When you wake up in the morning, the first thing you do when you get up out of bed is hit that streets a running and try to meet the masses. Go get yourself some cheap sunglasses.
Well, last night I talked about how the mainstream media was not reporting on the tit-for-tat war between Iran and Israel starting up in the last 2 days, and how that was totally unprecedented, and that could only happen if the president began to enforce executive orders and activate presidential decision directives that allow total control of the mainstream media. And if they don't follow that, then physically they start flipping switches and government pre-announced information comes out. They have whole newsrooms staffed with Voice of America personnel that will then commandeer, that's the word, and take full control of our media. And if you're a radio listener, I'm putting all these executive orders, there's thousands of them, up on screen because, again, they're reissued by each subsequent president. And it's not even my opinion or my interpretation. Even mainstream media says this allows this. And the crews just found a bunch of executive orders and stuff I've never even seen before from the Clinton National Library, 2006. Print that for me. Amazing. It's actual interpretation of the Clintons, of their power, saying just what I just said. Again, the crew, without even breaking a sweat, just printed probably 25 mainstream news articles and WhiteHouse.gov statements on this. And, you know, it's like a game with the ignorant to go, oh, no, you're full of it. Oh, Trump's not getting a peace deal in North Korea. Oh, the economy isn't at 3%. Oh, you know, they're not stopping illegal aliens. Oh, illegal aliens don't commit crimes. Oh, there's no executive orders to allow the total takeover. Oh, cell phone radiation doesn't give you brain tumors or heart problems. Oh, fluoride doesn't cause any problems for you. Oh, you don't need iodine to live. Oh, and it's like they think siding with the establishment makes them part of the establishment, and these people aren't part of the establishment. And Trump is the establishment trying to be more pragmatic and trying to have victory for the world. And variants of it. I was just telling him something off air. So when I come back, I'm going to play a ton of clips. And then we've got a guest joining us, Godfrey Bloom, who's a former member of the EU Parliament, a patriot, works with Nigel Farage, comes highly recommended from Nigel Farage. He's been on years ago, and he is a bigger than life character. And we're looking at working with him on some things over there in the UK. And he, of course, has been pointing out that when people have their right to defense taken, they become total slaves. And a man's been given, what, life in prison for stabbing burglars that were physically attacking him at his house. So the big crime in the UK now is defending yourself with the whole criminal state. Just like they had this no racism program in Coward County, there in Broward County. And they knew what Nicholas Cruz was planning, and the sheriff's department stood down. That's all confirmed. They lied before and said he wasn't part of the Promise program. He'd been part of the Promise program since early 2013, vandalizing, threatening, attacking, you name it, stealing. They all knew him as school shooter. He constantly went around with toy guns saying, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to come to the school and murder everyone. And when he did come, it was a stand down. And when we reported on it, the media said that we said nobody died so they could ban the videos we put out showing witnesses saying there was a stand down. So that's the globalist media for you. But when we come back, a news blitz. I've already spent a lot of time on Israel and the fact that they are currently basically at war with Iran. And this could escalate in the Persian Gulf or you name it. And it's just going to go ongoing because they hit back. I'm not anti-Israel, but still, I don't like the fact that they started this hours after Trump said he was pulling out of the deal. So I guess escalated. They want to get this over with. They want to punch Iran in the nose. Iran has had a lot of really vicious rhetoric, which is asking for it. So this whole thing is spiraling out of control. Pray for peace, folks. We'll be back.
You are listening to an Infowars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
I have have in my hand, executive orders by John F. Kennedy, by Ronald Reagan, by George Bush Sr., by W., by all of them, allowing the total takeover of energy, commerce, defense, communications, putting people into work brigades during martial law. Obama's internet shutdown switch, BBC, Associated Press, Whitehouse.gov. Later in the broadcast, I'm going to go over that. Because when the media didn't report anything in the first day and a half of the ongoing Israeli-Iranian war that's kicked off, when they've always reported on just stuff much smaller before, hell, Palestinian youth throwing stones, Israelis with water cannons, the fact that that's going on tells me that Trump has activated a national emergency. That's just a total fact. The power is there. It's in place. He's already done it on human smuggling. And if you don't think it's a national emergency that Iran has belligerently been violating their agreements and is threatening to nuke folks or threatening to use weapons and that Israel is threatening to attack them, both sides, and you've got Saudi Arabia now lined up on the side of Israel wanting nuclear weapons, it isn't about which side you're on, ladies and gentlemen. It's about the fact that this whole thing is escalating very quickly. If you want to understand executive orders and martial law and COG, that'd be, what, police state 4 or 5, dude? Police state 4. He's been reviewing it to where he can pull up all the exact executive orders since I asked him 20 minutes ago to do it. And they've already printed me now like over 40 documents. Executive Order National Defense Resource Preparedness. 2012, that's the really bad one with Obama. People probably asked last hour how I knew this all happened in 2011, 2012, because it was a big deal then. It's like all over even mainstream news. Like, the internet's kill switch is real. Why, everything, including your smartphones, under Obama's control. Why, the whole media does what Obama says. Remember, Michelle Obama was on the cover of thousands of publications. Melania hasn't been on one because the shadow government has been ignoring the president. Do I like Trump in control of the media? No. Like Drudge said, it's very dangerous to start calling CNN fake news and then saying maybe they should lose their license. As much as I'd like that, and as much as CNN is trying to get me shut down publicly, I'm not an authoritarian scumbag like them. And once you start down that road, once you begin down that road of defining this, defining that, you're like the UK, and I've got that coming up. UK says sharing hate post online could lead to 6 months in jail under newly proposed rules. I mean, wow. Wow. That is so huge. It's up on Infowars.com and Newswars.com. You can link through in the article to just mainstream British news going how great this is. Yeah, because they want all their competition shut down. This is frightening. Now, let's get into some positive news. Since July 27th, 1943, hard to believe, 60 years ago, there has been an armistice, meaning a ceasefire. There's been a lot of firefights, a lot of deaths, a lot of ships being grabbed, artillery barrages, a lot of stuff the public doesn't even know about that's gone on there since 1953 until 2018. And you've had the globalists propping up North Korea. You've had the globalists using it as a detonator to play games in the Middle East, giving them the weapons. And now, returning from North Korea with the newly confirmed Secretary of State Pompeo, President Trump has welcomed Americans home from North Korea. They are really three incredible people. And, of course, there's a lot of dramatic footage of that of them reunited with their families after years. But let's go ahead and roll some of the comments from the president on that.
We very much appreciate that he allowed them to go before the meeting. It was sort of understood that we'd be able to get these three terrific people during the meeting and bring them home after the meeting. And he was nice. in letting him go before the meeting. I mean, frankly, we didn't think this was going to happen, and it did. So you could say we're a little bit ahead. It was a very important thing to all of us to be able to get these three great people out.
Now, the next thing I want to go to is Robert Mueller. Now, even a lot of Democrats are saying, okay, he's out of control. He went after stuff that wasn't Russia-related. They found a bimbo, and they found a drug company in the U.S. giving money to Cohen that's totally legal for the lobbying work he was doing. I mean, this is a joke. But Pence won't even say the Russia investigation is a hoax. He just says that it's time for it to wrap up. Here is the vice president.
You knew him. He must have briefed you when you were a member of Congress. He's a Marine. He's a lifelong Republican. Do you think he can be trusted? Do you think he's a bad guy?
You know, our administration has been fully cooperating with the special counsel.
Do you think his investigation is a hoax?
And will continue to. What I think is that it's been a year since this investigation began. Our administration has provided over 1 million documents. We fully cooperated in it. And in the interest of the country, I think it's time to wrap it up. And I would very respectfully encourage the special counsel and his team to
do that. Now, again, the wrinkle to all of this is McCain, for the first year, saying, I did not give the dossier to BuzzFeed, and I'm not involved in the dossier. And it turns out he was involved the whole time. Then recently he said, okay, I was involved with some of the info in it. Opposition research firm behind Trump Russia dossier now says it didn't give it to BuzzFeed. McCain says he didn't as well, but now he says he's proud of it and defends giving Trump dossier to Comey, who then gave it to him. So it's the same thing. Duty demanded I do it. And of course, duty demanded you lie to us as well. Truly, truly disgusting. Now, when we come back, I'm going to get to some really important information. I got sources, as you know, months ago, that said they're planting false flags against the UN, against the Federal Reserve, against CNN, against MSNBC, against the mainstream media, against people like Megyn Kelly. That is a total loss, $60-something million in the toilet. Nobody watches her. I wasn't told they're specifically planning to target her. I was told people like that. Because they're flushing Matt Lauer, they're flushing Tom Brokaw, they're flushing all these overpaid people. And they said that the false flag will be against their institutions, blaming it on Trump supporters and blaming it on you. Well, since then, ISIS has come out and said they're going to attack CNN, the Federal Reserve, mainstream media. And now CNN keeps saying it. They've said it again, that Trump's going to make his supporters attack them. So they are really, really, really telling you what's coming. And they're trying to set the precedent that my words are violent, Trump's words are violent, and that as a class of people, we don't deserve free speech. It's what these fake lawsuits are all about. My lawyer went to a D.C. conference last weekend. I talked to another lawyer. It was such a big deal. I was talking to another lawyer, my family lawyer here yesterday, who came to visit us, and he said, no, I talked to Harvey, another one of the lawyers that was at the conference. They said it was the most insane bizarreness they've ever seen. They were hyperventilating. There was thousands of people at this thing, and they had people on stage going, and they killed people at the pizza place. Jones sent them to kill. There were dead people, and people are dying, and Jones is sending people to kill the Sandy Hook people, and everyone's like, get him, overturn the First Amendment. And the lawyers are like, no, it's true. They're planning to create a statute, an Alex Jones statute, and then ban everybody's free speech. It is the overturn of the First Amendment. So that's coming up on the other side. Newswars.com, Infowars.com.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
I got a bunch of stuff I want to hit this segment before a guest joins us coming up with key information. And that's, again, CNN putting out the talking point that Trump's causing violence, I'm causing violence, we have to be removed from office or I have to be banned. And that is the official PR drive, just like they've done in Europe, saying you can't hurt somebody's feelings or your hate speech is going to cause violence, and then they can define it however they want. That's here. Then I want to talk about the First Lady, Melania, who I'm a big fan of, kind of getting on the bandwagon of stopping bullying in schools. Well, yeah, it's good to stop bullying. It's good to have good in educational environments, but kids are always going to be mean. And if you try to shelter them, you're going to create basket cases. I mean, that said, I grew up in Dallas, and it was kind of a reverse racism thing. The schools let the minority students beat up the white kids, who were a lot of times many years younger, because some of the minority kids, like other white kids, had flunked grades. And I had thug white guys who'd flunked a couple grades start fights as well. But, I mean, I grew up in Dallas. It was very violent. Extremely. Not a lot of stabbing and shooting where I went to school, but a lot of really serious people going to the hospital fights. People were going to the hospital by eighth grade. People were dying by the 10th grade. That's why my parents sold their house, their dental offices, and we moved to Austin. Totally different culture. I never even saw a fight at Anderson High School. Totally different world. I was like, this is awesome. This is wonderful. I thought growing up it was like a, you know, gladiator episode or something. But I'm a lot stronger person because of it. But I'm already digressing. I'm going to get into that. Because just like she's getting roped into that and Trump's getting roped into saying, you know, let's shut down CNN. That's becoming what we're fighting. So I'm going to cover that coming up as well. That said, I have some information about CNN. The last time I got this information, in fact, I was going to cover this last night. It was in my stack in here. And I never did the report on it. Ask Rob Dew where that stack last night went. Was in here. We were in here at like 6 o'clock. It's got a whole stack, and I wrote notes on a piece of paper with my source of what I was going to cover. And I've got to find that stack that I left in here last night. You guys might have taken it, and I got to find that sheet because there's so much news that I intended to cover this when I started the show today, but then more missile attacks went on between Israel and Iranian forces, and so I got distracted, and I was going to shoot a special report last night. And I was just tired, and I went home to see my wife and children. But it's a big piece of news, and I got it from two sources, one about a month ago, and then I got it again yesterday from another source. And one of the sources told me specifically about the Time Warner AT&T merger about a year and a half ago, and inside baseball on that, because they were at dinner with the lobbyist, a bunch of the lobbyists. And then I saw that play out just like they said. But let me just give you the announcement. And it's a little bit nuanced. You know what? I'm not going to give you the announcement till I find my notes. I am so angry right now at myself. I just meticulously was on the phone for 45 minutes writing these notes and then getting everything to back up what I was even told, because a lot of this is already public, but it's not really known. And then it deals with the future of CNN. And the president doesn't need to shut it down. And, of course, the president knows that because it's already shut itself down. And the decision is how to get rid of it. So I have this thing where I say coming up and I can't control myself. Everybody knows that. Other talk show hosts build it up, give it to you. I'm like, next hour we're going to cover the secret of blah, 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 blah. But it's not that I'm holding it till later. It's that I don't have my notes or my stack of news that backs a lot of it up. Just like I told you about Korea and how they had sent their head of intelligence to meet with him in early March and how I was told that they'd already tacitly agreed to all this. There'd be a re-merger over 10 years with coal plants and businesses and that all this was going to be unfolding and that they would then release the all of it. And that's because we have those sources. But this is pretty big, so that's going to come up. And I've almost already burned through this segment just talking about that. I need to really spend proper time on the CNN thing. Let me look how many guests I have, because I'm the one that loads the show up with guests. and then I won't have time to get to it. Godfrey Bloom is on. Excellent, amazing guest. That's coming up. Matt Bracken, I took over his hour this week, so I said, hey, come on as a guest for an hour. But then he got another hour another day, and I always want to hear from Matt. Let's do 30 minutes with Matt instead of an hour. And at 1 o'clock, if I can find my notes, an article, I may have to abort covering this unless I find my notes, because it's like there's a whole bunch of them, and I can't remember. I can remember it all, but I'll get something wrong. And I want to give it out exactly because it's intriguing. This is really intriguing. You want me to let it out, folks? I can't even do it. I can't even do it. It's so hilarious what CNN's doing. Because if CNN gets rid of Trump, it's already been decided they're shutting it down and even getting rid of the name. And they don't even know at CNN that he's the only reason they've got any ratings or any funding. And if they get him out, CNN 100% is going to close its doors. Headline news and CNN, the decision's been made. Now, that could change, but that's the decision right now. It's gone. It's trash. It's garbage. Just like the Washington Post and the New York Times are propped up by these kingpins. You're always seeing articles about, oh, they're getting some more subscriptions. Oh, they're popular now. Bull. Baloney. I'm going to stop right there. So I'll have to punt into the next hour on that because our guest is coming up, and on the Melania thing, and on the free speech thing, and on the thing in the UK, and on people having their smart homes taken over by Bezos. That's in the news. Amazon wants to run your house, is showing what it's like to have a home completely controlled by Alexa. What a horrible idea that is. Oh, there's no appliances watching us, Jones. You're insane. 20 years ago. So that's been the plan. Briefly, we're not funded by Soros. We're not funded by the globalists. We're not funded by this whole New World Order system. We're funded by you. And something I've dropped the ball on is we have put out like 30 new T-shirts. It's more than 30 in the last year. And I don't even promote T-shirts anymore. And a lot of these are really soft, nice fabric, designer, summer athletic cut. We put out 6 or 7 shirts for women. Women were asking for that. We've just got camo shirts, military green shirts. These are the best shirts we've ever produced, plus all the classic ones. And then we've got collector's editions where we only print a few thousand. Infowarsstore.com. We've got well over 150 shirts right now. And, you know, the $5-$10 we make on these when you buy them, that helps fund our operation. But here's the big thing. It's starting the adventure. Because you go out in the Patriot area, you'll get your lunch bought for you probably, or meet your new best friend. You go into other areas, you might get coffee dumped on your head or physically attacked. So it's choose your own adventure. The video game in the real world. You're not looking for imaginary Pokemons. You're out looking for other Patriots wearing your colors loud and proud. Get your Patriot apparel at InfoWarsStore.com and choose your adventure today.
You found it. The front lines of the human awakening. It's the InfoWar. And now, Alex Jones.
There must be some kind of way out of here. Say that joker to the thief.
Now, Godfrey Bloom is our guest, and I want to play a clip of Godfrey Bloom here in just a moment. Godfrey Bloom is a libertarian author with 6 books published on both military history and Austrian School of Economics, so he's a Ron Paul type guy. He worked in the City of London, where he won an international prize for fund management. He was a member of the EU Parliament for 10 years, and his speeches in the chamber attracted over 70 million views, exposing state, bank, and tax malpractice, as well as deep state corruption. He was a member of the EU Parliament, and he's going to give us his insight on where the EU is going, because, again, the Parliament's ceremonial. He brought experience, if not influence, in the Monetary and Economic Affairs Committee, where he was sitting as a member of putting the European Central Bank president under unaccustomed pressure. He's an associate member of the Royal College of Defense Studies and graduate in geopolitical strategy. His latest book, The Magic of Banking, The Coming Collapse, and A Guide to Libertarianism can both be found on Amazon paperback and Kindle version. Godfrey Bloom UK, and in the words of Nigel Farage, who's larger than life, Godfrey Bloom's probably the largest of life person he knows. He said about a week ago on a phone call with me, and we've had him on years ago, but it's great to have him back. I want to get him to work with us more. I want to get him, you know, sometimes to team up with our reporters, like Paul Watson in the UK. There's so much to cover, Godfrey. I don't know where to begin, but what about that viral video of you a few weeks ago where you pulled out your sword? Tell folks about that.
There was a chap who was attacked in the middle of the night. He wrested the knife off the guy, and he stabbed him with it and killed him. And bloody good job too. And that's what we should also do. And I got really cross when he was arrested, and I threatened everybody with my sword if they broke into me at the middle of the night. That's what they'd get.
Now, I want to play this clip and then get into the geopolitical and military areas you're really an expert in, but how did the UK get to this point of taking the guns, letting the Islamists in, having the exploding crime, the acid attacks, now more dangerous than New York City, and Sadiq Khan, you know, is up there saying we need to have restrictions on knives, and if you defend yourself famously, you know, from burglars the third time and shoot them with a secret shotgun, you go to prison, but the gypsies don't get in trouble. I mean, why is the government of the UK and also the US and other liberal governments just worshiping and coddling criminals? What is the unifying end game, Godfrey?
Well, I think there's a desire to break down, as all with communists and socialists, is to break down, if you can, society so you can install the system that you want. So we have to get to a total breakdown before this can actually happen. And so what they're trying to do is break it down. And they do it by a method of secret societies. So one of the leading secret societies we have here at the moment is an organization called Common Purpose. And you have to be a member of that if you're going to be promoted. It's sort of secret handshakes and stuff like that. And they're all committed to actually not work with the people who pay their salaries, but work against them. So we've got ourselves into this terrible mess, this terrible situation, and we've really got to do something about it. But we can't do anything about it until we get rid of those people and we get rid of our civil service, who are all making this happen. Our civil service now runs the country, not politicians. And I rather think in the United States, you're finding that out as well.
Exactly. We've got the former head of the CIA and NSA openly saying, if you're in government, don't do what the executive branch says. Don't follow orders. Block him, sabotage him. And I have an article here out of the UK, the Daily Mail. UK sharing hate posts that they define online could lead to 6 months in jail under newly proposed rules. Say that the Prophet Muhammad married a 9-year-old. It's a fact. 6 months in jail. Say that we shouldn't sexualize young children and give them, quote, gay education. 6 months in jail. This is like Iron Curtain level censorship.
Oh, I think, Alex, this is something the East German police, the Stasi, would have died for. This is far, far in advance of anything they were allowed to do. You can now get arrested, and it's actually happened, for quoting the Bible. You can stand in the market square and quote bits of the Bible, and you can be arrested for it for disturbing the peace. You know, we live in this absolutely crazy situation, but we also live in a situation where if it's Islam, you're bulletproof. You cannot be arrested. And if you are, if you're a politician, if you come from an ethnic minority, you can pretty well say exactly what you like, say anything what you like. If you are white or middle class or of the indigenous population, you will be horribly vilified straight away. So the whole thing's been turned on its head. It's really quite upsetting, and of course the whole country is absolutely bewildered by it. And we got rid of the House of Lords, which was our amending chamber. It was politicized by Tony Blair because although it was a rather eccentric organization, the House of Lords, it actually had people who were real lords, not fake lords that we have now. People that were real earls and dukes and viscounts. Whose families had been in this country for years and years and years. So they had the stewardship of the country at their heart. They were great stewards of the country. And it was a force, broadly speaking, for good and common sense. That's all changed now. They put cronies in. They're all failed politicians, civil servants with hidden agendas. So consequently now, they don't represent anybody. They certainly don't represent the country. And of course, they're quite open about the fact now they're trying to thwart Brexit, which is, the will of the people. The House of Commons mandated the electorate to vote. The Prime Minister wrote a letter to every family in the land saying that the House of Commons, would carry out the will of the people on this, whether they voted yes or no. No, and of course the Prime Minister said of the day, David Cameron, we ought to vote to stay. But he said, if you don't vote to stay, we'll carry out your wishes. And then what people forget is that we had a general election within just a few months. And on both red and blue, Labour and Conservative, of course, we've got red and blue just like you. You've got Democrats or Republicans. We have Labour or Conservative. We get the choice of two very poor choices, incidentally, I'm afraid, very poor choices. And so what actually happens there is that these people have thwarted the will of the people, because on both red and blue, the manifesto was to leave. It was to carry out Brexit. So the whole country, 72 million people voted to leave the European Union, and nobody's taking the slightest bit of notice, because we're no longer run by the people, by the electorate. We're run by a small cabal of people in Parliament and the civil service.
Exactly. Wouldn't it be fair to say you've traded out hereditary royalty and people that actually then went along with the Magna Carta and the whole new system that became the world model of freedom, and have replaced it with shadowy international mega cartels that have created new bureaucratic royalty whose goal is total division of the population, the atomization of it, for absolute hegemonic control. I mean, this is the great game writ large to the next level, trying to, directly destroy culture. And A, do you agree with that? And B, how big is the pushback? We see populism exploding. We see a lot of people awakening to this. But is that death throes, or is that major pushback?
Well, there's a lot of people are surprised, because obviously as a graduate of the Royal College of Defence Studies and being an ex-politician and a member of the Economic and Monetary Affairs Committee, I'm used to dealing with these people. And I just knew how much power that they had. But I think the ordinary population here is beginning to understand by whom they are governed. These people, they've never heard of these people. These people are popping up all over the place. People are saying in the pubs and clubs, especially in the north of England, who are these people? I've never heard of these people. And what you've got to understand, it's the same as America. It's no different. I visit America a lot. And I've got a lot of American friends. What you've got to bear in mind in the United Kingdom, it's a little bit like, imagine being on a train where all the passengers want to go to Birmingham, but of course they all vote to go to Birmingham, but the driver of the train and the conductor of the train don't think that's a good idea. They want to go to Edinburgh. It doesn't matter how much...
Stay there, Godfrey Bloom. We'll talk about it on the other side in Common Purpose as well. This is critical.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Well, I expect you've heard about this old age pensioner who's been arrested by the police for defending his home from two thugs in the middle of the night who were threatening his wife, threatening to rob him. They were armed with screwdrivers, a couple of nasty thugs, and I know it's sub judice, but it seems like he dispatched one of them and set one of them off in defence of his home. Now, I'd like to know what other country in the world would have arrested a 78-year-old old-age pensioner for defending his wife and defending his house in the middle of the night. I know of no other country where he would have been arrested. And he's been arrested. It shows the decadence, the depths to which our country has sunk. The Crown Prosecution Service, the Not Fit for Purpose Home Office, the Common Purpose Chief Constables, the whole rabble that now run our country. I can't believe he's been arrested. I'm furious, and I bet you're furious too. Particularly interesting, because I used to live in Hither Green when I was in London. I lived in Hither Green for many years. My grandmother lived in Hither Green for many scores of years. And it's not a particularly rough sort of place. I just can't believe that this has happened, that he's been arrested. But let me just say one thing. Let me make one thing very clear. I'm still pretty fit. I'm ex-army. And this is my old army sword. This is my old army sword. Okay? You break into my house in the middle of the night. You dare do something like that and you'll get this. Make no mistake, you'll get this. As is my freeborn right as an Englishman, defend my family. I will defend my half, I will defend my family with my old regimental sword, and the Crown Prosecution Service can go to the devil.
Now, I was talking to Nigel Farage last week, and he said, have you seen that video with 7 million views on YouTube? And I said, no. And I went and looked it up, it had like 8 million views by then. I went on Facebook, I didn't even know about that. I was like, 9 million over there. And that shows how hungry people are. And we've got to have Godfrey Bloom back up for a full hour to get into banks and his books and military history and geopolitically what's happening currently. I was just, you know, introducing him back to this audience here. If we want to work with him more, we're looking for folks that want to actually reporting in the UK. So that's something down the road we're trying to build right now with you know, Malik and others and Paul Watson. We have a little bit of time in this segment, some time in the next, then he's got to go, and then we've got other guests joining us. I'm going to tell you about the fate of CNN. This is an exclusive. It is being intended to be shut down. This is directly from the highest levels. It's not Trump saying, you know, take their license. I mean, we're talking about the corporations don't want it, but it's kind of being handed about right now. So that's coming up. But I want to just do kind of a snapshot view with Godfrey Bloom, who's a really respected military historian, expert in banking, you name it, about the current state of the world and what the globalists are doing, why the big banks are funding socialism and communism, how they have these national groups like Common Purpose in the UK, Carnegie Foundation, others here, all the big leftist organizations, where Cruz, the shooter at Parkland, was protected for 4 years, death-threatening people, robbing, vandalizing, stealing, you name it. And it's the same thing with these Islamists. The high courts in Europe just ruled can rape little girls. I mean, it's mainstream news. It can kill people. It's like they're above the law. This is part of a destabilization strategy that he absolutely hit, you know, the target with. So I want him to finish up with that and then give us a snapshot geopolitically what he sees happening in the world, who the different players are versus the populist, you know, the capitalist, the nationalist, the pro-Christian, pro liberty, pro-success, common-sense world that comes out of the UK. I'm not a Anglophile here, but England ended slavery worldwide, except in a few Muslim areas. Now you read the news, you think Israel invented slavery. The West is what gave women their rights and everything. And then how have we now had it turned back on us, using our goodwill against us in this guilt-ridden system? It's just insane. So I wanted you to finish up with that, sir, and then give us big picture on the state of the world right now as a well-known, respected historian and former member of the EU Parliament.
In the United Kingdom, they didn't just get rid of the House of Lords, and this process has been going on for some time. They've got rid of the primary situation of the Christian faith is something else that's been got rid of. Her Majesty the Queen is the head of the church, but the Archbishops of Canterbury have been chosen by the prime ministers of the day. And they have consistently produced Archbishops of Canterbury who have no interest in preaching the gospel at all.
Wasn't one bishop a Wiccan? Wasn't one of the head bishops a Wiccan? Doesn't even believe in Christ?
Yeah, well, that was actually the Bishop of Durham. Yeah, that was a few years ago. So we've got the heads of the Anglican Church in the United Kingdom are a waste of space. They're absolutely hopeless. So that's one pillar of society that they got rid of. The other pillar of society that they got rid of was the family, the traditional family, mum and dad and the kids and the role model of a father and the working father. They got rid of all that by taking away any tax advantage you had by getting married and having children in the traditional way. We now have a welfare system which pays mothers for producing children with maybe four or five different fathers, and they're locked into the twilight world of welfare from generation to generation. We now have third generation of families who've no intention of working at all, who have.
And this is an admitted plan of the big mega banks working with the communists. How do we stop them? And is this, as I said earlier, because I want this, because you're a smart guy, is this a global awakening when we're on the offense and are going to win, or is it a death rattle? And I mean, what's your real assessment?
The problem that we have is one of the democracy, the system of democracy that we have. And the only person who is really seriously challenging this at the moment, of course, is Hans Hopper. And you'll be familiar with his work. Now, yes. if you go back to ancient Athens and the concept of democracy, Alex, this is the problem that we have now. It was never, ever the idea that you got a vote just because you were 18 years old. You had to be a contributor to the system. You had to contribute to the system. And of course, even Oliver Cromwell, if you fast forward right up to the 1600s, Oliver Cromwell, a great parliamentarian, suggested it isn't quite right that you should get a vote just by breathing the air. And I quote him, you shouldn't get a vote just by breathing the air. You should contribute to society. And if you don't contribute to society, you shouldn't get a vote. What we now have now is two sorts of welfare. We have social welfare and corporate welfare. So we have big business who are getting subsidies on a daily basis, landowners, and of course, at the other end of society, we have at the bottom end of the scale, we have people who are permanently on social welfare, and they all vote in their own self-interest.
Well, it's like Mitt Romney said, once you get 57% on the dole, it's over, because they will enslave the other half.
Yes, and it's not just on the dole, Alex, it's people in the public sector. It's people in the public sector. We have the local boss at the town hall on £200,000 a year. We have the head of the National Health Trust on £200,000 a year. Well, ordinary, hardworking people, maybe mechanics, cab drivers, hairdressers, are struggling just to get by.
Yeah, what do they make? Like £20,000, £30,000?
The average wage in this country, across the country, is about £28,000. That's about $37,000 a year, because it does tend to vary. But give you an idea of this, how wrong it's gone in our National Health Service, which is a ludicrous disgrace, the way it's run at the moment. We have 1.6 million people employed in the National Health Service, less than half of whom have any medical qualification whatsoever.
Oh, yeah, I saw the article, just to interrupt you, we got to head back again for a full hour or longer, Godfrey Bloom with us. Where the little girl has the leg 4 inches too short, they could easily do a surgery and fix it here, and they're telling her they're going to chop her leg off.
Well, that's the kind of nonsense that you end up with when you have chief executives on £200,000 a year and a fully trained theatre nurse, which is at the top of her profession, earning £32,000 a year. The whole thing is topsy-turvy. We've got to get rid of these freeloaders, of whom there are far, far too many at every level of government. They have to go, but they're very difficult to shift, because the government keeps turning round to these people and saying, you've got to cut expenditure. And of course, they're the people that actually do the sums. They're the people that do the cutting. So they don't cut. They don't cut themselves, they cut nurses, they get rid of doctors. The army, the Ministry of Defence, they get rid of soldiers, but they never get rid of clerks working in Whitehall. The whole system's gone mad. And we've got to change the whole political ethos of this country and North America, it's just the same, and Western Europe. It's all got to change. And if it doesn't change soon, the whole system is going to collapse with all that that entails in terms of what...
I was about to say, don't we have the social compact has been broken?
Oh, it's been completely broken, and it's been broken by the people with whom we placed our trust, politicians and civil servants. I think there's going to be a night of the long knives. I could see it ending up a bit like the French Revolution.
Well, that's my next question. We got five more minutes with you, Godfrey Bloom. When we come back in 2 minutes, I want to ask you, you're a smart historian, military historian, mainline historian, a major leader in the UK for folks here in the U.S. watching you. At a gut level, how do you see it ending? I agree, because I'm not going along with this. I'm trying to fix it peacefully. They're getting violent, and they're going to keep pushing it and keep starting it, and they're going to reap the whirlwind. We'll be back. Stay with us.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. You're listening to Alex Jones.
You see, if we don't admit we're under this global system, or that the EU makes 90% of the UK's laws and they never voted to be part of it, if we never admit that we're under an unelected system, we can't elect a president who'll pull us out of the TPP. We can't elect people in the British Parliament that'll get them out of the unelected EU system. And again, he was a member of the Parliament, Godfrey Bloom, but that's ceremonial. You've got the permanent bureaucracy like a Soviet Politburo. So I want to get Godfrey Bloom on for a full hour next week, if he can do it, to get into his books, The Magic of Banking, The Coming Collapse, A Guide to Libertarianism, and so much more. But just in the 5 minutes we have left, sir, getting into the sense of what you're saying, that people are going to really start getting aggressive here when the producers basically shrug, like Atlas shrugged, and then your view on the world economic system and why these wars are kicking off and what you see in your crystal ball.
Well, of course, there are a number of things we'll do to sort of encapsulate in a few minutes. But we've read, I'm sure, most of your listeners would have read or be aware of General Eisenhower's autobiography when he said, beware of the industrial military complex, which, of course, is just follow the money. War, a lot of people make a lot of money out of war. It's young men, ordinary young men, that get their legs blown off and get killed. A lot of people sit at home in armchairs making money out of war. So that's one of the problems that is very difficult to get rid of. And when it comes to freedom, freedom has to be consistently fought for. You can't fight for it once and hope it's going to be there. The Americans have fought two wars of independence. One was against the British Empire, and the one, of course, was a civil war, North versus the South. A lot of people don't understand it or know about it, but the British have actually had four civil wars. King Stephen against Matilda, the War of the Roses, the first civil war in the 1600s, and the second, to get where we actually chopped off Charles I's head. And there was a restoration about 20 years later.
I was about to say, you had the Defender of the Faith, you're mentioning Cromwell. He was the last one, right?
That's right. He was the last head of the Commonwealth. And that didn't work out very well for us. But it's a constant thing. It isn't a one-off thing. The French had to have their revolution, and they just exchanged King Louis for Napoleon. They got exactly the same deal. They just got somebody who was a little bit perhaps more efficient. But he still killed lots of young men with his wars. So this is a constant problem. This is a constant thing. And if we are thwarted in our... Brexit is a wonderful example. If we're thwarted in our leaving after we've had a referendum, we've had a mandate given to Parliament by the people twice, once in a referendum, once in a general election, if still they're thwarting it, and I said this in one of my recent podcasts on my website, I simply don't know any other alternative. I simply can't understand what else we can do except march to London, the 71 people who voted to leave, and burn the bloody place down. Like, somebody else give me a better idea, because I don't have one.
Well, you're right. When you've got foreign traitors who are selling you out and you don't have a vote and they're an occupational group, and they're trying to take your free speech and trying to use your tax money to bring in a bunch of foreigners to become the police and the bureaucrats to suppress you, at a certain point, they think our reluctance is a sign of weakness. They take our kindness as a sign of weakness. It's not. And historically, it shows when the producers and the workers actually fight back, these parasites are going to run for the hills quite quickly. But I think they now realize humanity's awakening. Speaking of that, your podcast, all of it, GodfreyBloom.uk. Can you join us for a full hour next week?
I certainly hope I can. I just need to check up with one of my colleagues. But I certainly hope I can.
Because, yeah, I know we've got a lot of stuff. We need to talk at least next week off air about some plans because, you know, we've been working on some things behind the scenes to launch some stuff in the UK, and then a little bird told me you might be one of the guys that wants to do that.
Well, I certainly do want to. That was no question. I'm in deepest Wales next week.
All right, buddy. Thank you so much. Godfrey Bloom, God bless.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be back as the global resistance against tyranny accelerates into hyperdrive. I'm Alex Jones, your host. Newswars.com is the newest site. We're redoing InfoWars. It's still a great site, but it's an older design. And PrisonPlanet.com is our UK backup. InfoWarsStore.com is how you finance us. You are our financiers. Without you, we will fall to Soros. We will fall to the EU. We will fall to the globalists. But with you, we will defeat them together. We'll be back.
It's Alex Jones.
Last night, I had a very interesting phone call with an individual who was not Roger Stone. And he gave me big details of CNN and its future and the media in this country. And I wrote some notes that we won't document, Cam, here, because I don't want to show all these on television. Radio listeners, I'll be breaking it down. And then I thought, even though his voice has gone from hundreds of interviews the last few days and weeks since he's been the focus of the fake Mueller probe, but I realized that a lot of what I was told by this high-level individual is similar things that Roger Stone told me a year and a half ago, and then 6 months ago, and then a few weeks ago when he was here in town. And I don't just get into this because it's gossip about CNN. Because CNN on average has about 200,000 viewers. Its top shows have 1.5 million. I mean, they're a joke. They're force-fed in hotels. They're force-fed in bars. They're force-fed in train stations and airports. They pay to put the TVs in and pay for the cable and sometimes actually pay money on top of it to be force-fed. It's like government cheese or synthetic gin in the imaginary world of 1984. You want to avoid it at all costs. So it's already dead. But it's interesting, while we're getting Roger on, because he finally answered the phone, it's interesting to know this because it just ties into how things work. Most people look at a news story one-dimensionally, or two-dimensionally maybe. But what about looking at it third-dimensionally, fourth-dimensionally? That's what they call, you know, this 3D chess. Looking out, projecting how it's going to have ripples in the pond. So then I was going to cover this last night, but then I wanted to talk to Roger. I never got around to calling him. And then I missed his call this morning. And then I went and found my notes, and I just wanted to get him here as a crutch because he doesn't know I'm going to do this because he told me a lot of this, but I don't understand all the nuances. He used to run one of the biggest lobbying firms, not the most successful, in D.C. for many years. And he told me about this. Of course he told me about this. And then I talked to other people. But this was, again, a year and a half ago, and then in the last few months I heard more, and it's been all over the news. But this other source, who will go unnamed, laid out that the DOJ is proposing that AT&T exclude DirecTV or Turner from the Time Warner deal if they're going to merge with Time Warner because Time Warner owns CNN. Now, the big concern here is, again, this is very complex, but I'm just going to lay it out. It's not really a monopoly issue to merge AT&T and Time Warner because AT&T does not have that big of media holdings. They're more a telecommunications company, and Time Warner has a bunch of failing and ailing and low-rated properties. It's legacy. It's 2 feet in the grave. That's the thinking. And so the two kind of need to merge together to even have any shot at contending with Google and Facebook and Twitter that are and Amazon with its own streaming services. I mean, Amazon's bigger than, you know, all the legacy media combined. I mean, Bezos makes $12 billion a day some days. I mean, he's worth $160 billion now or something. Next week it'll be $170 billion, $200 billion, $300 billion. So this whole thing about these companies merging, you know, being a monopoly is a red herring. I mean, if you want to break them up, start with Google, Amazon, probably Amazon first. Amazon, Google, Facebook, Twitter. You know, Twitter's part owned by Amazon. I mean, when you talk about these things, it's all interconnected. Bezos is really the kingpin. He's really super anti-American, super monopolistic, super hyper-psycho aggressive. He's not a free market dude. He's real bad news for standard of living in society. He is creepazoid. Wants you to live in 250 square foot apartments. I mean, he's wants your house to be AI run by him. I mean, delusions of grandeur, baby, he's it. He is the problem. Now, and by the way, you see the news. Trump's obsessed with Bezos. Bezos, because he's the kingpin, folks. He's the one. So let me get to this. He stands in the way of American prosperity. He stands in the way of the Renaissance. I heard a lot of this that I got from this other source last night from Stone a year and a half ago and others. Then I talked to folks that were at the dinner with Stone. Wasn't any Russian collusion at this. It was high-level folks. I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to let Roger, we haven't talked. When we come back from break, we'll see what he wants to say. I just want him to hear what I'm going to say to then correct any of it's wrong, because, again, he's not my new source or this other source. I have three sources total, but two big ones. It's that this is big, and I want to make sure he holds my hand with this and make sure I get it right. So without further ado, here is the big enchilada. CNN's a bunch of hired mercenaries and mainly political hacks from the Democratic Party and failed Republicans that get up there and put out their propaganda. And they're also pushing this narrative that Trump's going to get them killed. And the word is the globalists are looking to stage terror attacks against CNN, MSNBC to make them the victim. I mean, that's how desperate they are to try to up the narrative and make themselves pertinent in this whole victimology culture. But the word is they don't know how to offload CNN. Because they don't want it to be outside the merger, because then it would fall to a Bezos, tomato, tomato, or a monstrous creature like George Soros. But it's a sticking point in the merger because AT&T doesn't even want it. It's a worthless property losing hundreds of millions of dollars a year that is an eyesore and a ruined brand. CNN is fake news. So no need for Trump to take his license or kick it out of the press corps, because it's already a joke. Leave them there. They're killing themselves. They're already dead. They're like Lazarus, though. You know, they're reanimated corpses. They're the walking dead. So we've got that bottom line there. So here's the big crux of it. CNN is like garbage that has to be taken out. But there's face saving. They don't want to just turn it off. Kind of like when they get rid of Piers Morgan or somebody. They go, oh, they do a monthly magazine now. And the monthly magazine airs for 3 months, and then they're just gone. And so they're trying to figure out how to take out the garbage pail at CNN. And here's what the idiots at CNN don't know. So I'm going to let them know this. If they successfully take Trump out, and Trump's now winning, he's turned the corner, the globalists are panicking, they're now trying to sue for peace. If they remove Trump or are successful, CNN 100% is going to have its doors closed and CNN will be a thing of history. They're going to save face with some CNN documentary channel that's, you know, 5,000 or something that no one watches, that's old interviews. There's going to be a face saving, but it's going to be transferred into some entertainment channel with a whole new name beyond CNN headline news. That's the test. So CNN's trying to bring down Trump. But only while Trump was in office did it even bring their ratings up to tolerable to even halfway fund things. Without Trump, it's believed that it's going to totally collapse. It'll be totally gone. And the executives believe there's no way to rehabilitate it. And they're unanimous that they want to get rid of it, but they don't want to spin it off to become some new criminal mischief owned by Bezos or the Dark Lord, Nazi collaborator, George Soros. So that's what's holding up the whole deal. Notice they're now debating them excluding DirecTV or something like that, because that actually has power and is big. CNN doesn't matter. So there's CNN trying to destroy Trump when CNN is completely bankrupt, propped up like the Washington Post or New York Times, a total failure, absolutely rotten. Yeah, we declared it dead last year. And they lied themselves to death. And so that's what's really going on there. And it just is a symbol of how mainstream media is dead, the legacy media is dead, and that they just don't even know in their own world that if they get rid of Trump 100%, that CNN will be there for the impeachment, the whatever, and then as soon as that's gone, they are gone. They are. So CNN is already dead, but it's trying to fully blow the brains out of its own zombie rotting cranium. It's unbelievable. We'll talk about it with Roger Stone straight ahead.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
So,